as a kind of organizing concept, set of principles.
I like it a lot.
If these two issues are in fact one issue, if there was a relationship between this complaint and this issue, you have not only this illicit conduct by the President of the United States, but you also have the added element of a cover-up.
Everybody looked at this, and everybody's looked at it and said, there's nothing there. Ask the right questions.
Freedom is back in style. Welcome to the revolution.
Yeah, we're coming to your city. Gonna play our guitars and sing you a country song.
Sean Hannity.
The new Sean Hannity Show. Behind-the-scenes information on breaking news and more bold, inspired solutions for America.
All right, I'm trying to understand this. Sidney Powell has just pointed out that Judge Tarenga in the EDVA just entered a 39-page decision granting an acquittal in the Rafikan case, I think is how you pronounce it. Anyway, we've got a lot to get to. 800-941 Sean is on number. The big news, obviously, Democrats now meeting on possible impeachment, and Pelosi expected to formally announce it. It is a foregone conclusion. They've been searching, and now they got it. Anyway, Greg Jarrett is with us. Bruce Marks also with us. Greg Jarrett, of course, author of the now-released Witch Hunt, the story of the greatest mass delusion in American political history, Amazon.com, Hannity.com, bookstores everywhere. Bruce Marks, attorney, operates a law firm which practices between Ukraine, Russia, and the U.S. All right, Greg, you could probably make more sense of this than me, but it literally just passed the wire like 30 seconds as I'm coming on here.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it right now, and this is a case that is arguably comparable to the Flynn case, but, you know, Sean, it just was handed down, and until I read it in its entirety, I really can't make a legal judgment. But Sidney Powell, who is defending Flynn, General Michael Flynn, is making the argument that the case against Flynn ought to be thrown out by the judge because prosecutors, the Mueller special counsel team, including Andrew Weissman and others, hid exculpatory evidence, which under the law they're required to provide, and not just one or two pages. We are talking about volumes and volumes of exculpatory information.
And by the way, the judge in the Flynn case has a history of being very, very angry when these shenanigans and prosecutorial abuse takes place and exculpatory evidence withheld, because he was the one that overturned the whole issue as it relates to Senator Ted Stevens. A little too late for his career, but he did it.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. So this is a judge who is well aware that prosecutors all too often engage in misconduct. They lie. They conceal vital evidence. And that's a grounds for a judge to throw out a case. This judge in the Flynn case has to be concerned that not only were Mueller's lawyers allegedly concealing, hiding evidence, covering it up, but that they actually prosecuted a guy who told the truth. They prosecuted a guy and forced him to plead lying when, in fact, he didn't lie at all. And I devote an entire chapter of my book, Chapter 8, to what I call collateral damage, which was Michael Flynn. He was railroaded. He was pressured into making a plea because Mueller wanted him to flip against Donald Trump and say something incriminating, even though Flynn had nothing incriminating to say. This is an unconscionable tactic by prosecutors. I cite other examples in my new book of how they literally put pieces of paper in front of potential witnesses and said, sign this lie or we'll come after you with a vengeance. Now, that's suborning perjury, as you and I have talked before. And yet, when Mueller does it, it seems to be perfectly okay.
And let's get your take on that, Bruce Marks, and we'll pull up, you know, more of the information. I'm literally printing out the ruling as we speak. But go, and what it's saying here is they talked about The judge says, memorandum opinion, after a six-day trial, the defendant in the case convicted one count of conspiracy violation, one count acting in the United States as an unregistered agent of a foreign government, the government of Turkey, violation, give the U.S. Code, 18 U.S. Code 951. Defendant moved for a judgment of acquittal at the close of the government's case in chief, renewed the motion at the close of all the evidence, and following the verdict, file a motion for judgment of acquittal under federal rule of criminal procedure. And they give that procedure, they give the motions for that. The court held a hearing on this in September 12, 2019, at the conclusion of which it took them under advisement for reasons stated below. The evidence was insufficient as a matter of law for the jury to convict on either count because the verdict was against the heavy weight of the evidence and because of other issues pertaining to the conduct of that trial, as discussed below, things you're mentioning, Greg, and a new trial is also warranted in the interest of justice should the court's judgment of acquittal be later vacated or reversed. It's pretty interesting. According to the motions for acquittal are granted, and the motion for a new trial is conditionally granted. How do you take that, Mark? I'm sorry, Bruce Marks.
I mean, it's a stunning result. I do some criminal work, you know, not a lot. And when you're in court against the federal government, you have a tough road to hoe. It is just so rare that a federal judge does this. On the one hand, you know, I think it gives us faith in the judiciary. On the other, and I say this sadly, it really calls into question a lot of what the government, the prosecutors are doing, particularly when these matters relate to Donald Trump, and perhaps it will be encouraging as far as, you know, Mr. Flynn is concerned, because I think he's trying to, you know, overturn his guilty plea.
Well, I mean, over time. All right, now to the issue at hand, the Democrats as we speak, Greg Jarrett. By the way, doesn't it seem an awful, don't you see a lot of similarities to the Russia witch hunt? Because they're now meeting behind closed doors, and Nancy Pelosi is expected to come out and call for a formal impeachment inquiry into Donald Trump. For what reason? Well, it would be a whistleblower report that we now know is secondhand, that the Washington Post is saying did not have a quid pro quo in it. In other words, what was reported initially apparently is wrong. So why? They're just grasping at straws? What are they doing here?
Well, they're getting way ahead of themselves. I don't know how you can justify launching formal impeachment proceedings when you don't even know, A, who the whistleblower is, B, what his complaint states, C, the conversation that the president had with the president of Ukraine, D, whether there was any quid pro quo as alleged and now by the Wall Street Journal debunked. I mean, these are all not just salient facts. These are critical, vital facts. And, you know, this is another example of Democrats and the media, quite frankly, getting way out over their skis and putting a conclusion before the predicate and the facts here. You know, let's get the facts first. Let's be fair and objective and neutral here before we even launch an investigation. How do we know the investigation is even justified until we know some of the fundamental facts?
I think that's well said, but, you know, what was first reported turned out to be wrong. This isn't a whistleblower. This is somebody that had secondhand information. I guess, Bruce, you're an attorney. That would be hearsay. Is that admissible in a court of law?
Generally speaking, Sean, hearsay is not, but was even worse about this. I mean, there's not only a rush to impeachment. It sounds to me it's a rush to people who want to be on CNN tonight, because Donald Trump said, I think earlier today, that he was going to release a transcript of his conversation with Ukrainian President Zelensky. So why in the world would you have a decision or a vote on this today when the transcript is going to come out tomorrow?
It really does say something, doesn't it? Let me just take a brief detour here, because I'm getting some information. So why Sidney Powell is paying so much attention to this as the attorney for General Flynn, because if you go back, and Greg, you would remember this, when General Flynn at his first sentencing hearing, Judge Sullivan in that case, you know, it, he told Sullivan that they wouldn't have been able to charge, they would have been able to charge General Flynn for a FARA violation, which, by the way, is usually a slap on the wrist stuff. And what's interesting, there was, you know, that's where the whole ridiculousness of treason, this is a 33-year veteran in this country, came from. Then Sullivan retracted at the end of the hearing, but not before the mainstream media. Remember they picked up that big blow up, and then he came back out and apologized. And anyway, this I'm just looking through this as we speak, so I think there's relevancy here. So if they get over their skis, and if there was the president saying that he wants the truth from Ukraine, but there's no quid pro quo, is there any legal issues for the president that would be impeachable, Greg Jarrett?
It depends on the president's intent. If his intent is purely to ask the Ukrainians to stop the corruption and to investigate, you know, corrupt acts, and that is his intent, my goodness, of course presidents ask all kinds of things of foreign countries, especially those countries we provide millions and billions of dollars in aid. So, but if his intent is to damage his political opponent, Democrats will certainly argue that that is a violation of the law. So it depends on the president's intent. But we don't know his intent until we actually see his words in the conversation. All we have, as you point out appropriately, Sean, is all we have is hearsay from a guy who didn't actually listen in on the conversation.
Well, and again, we're now getting reports there was no quid pro quo. We're getting reports that it was secondhand information. So it wasn't even a whistleblower from the get-go, right?
Well, they look at the whistleblower statute. You can't blow the whistle on the President of the United States. That's point number one. Point number two, the relevant statute here says that the complainant, who is a member of the intelligence community, can only complain about conduct or misconduct within the intelligence community, of which the president is not. Under our constitutional form of government, the president is a unitary executive. He is not subject to the rules and conditions of conduct within the various departments. The departments report to him. So the director of national intelligence, who will be testifying on Thursday, and that will be an important day, took a look at this complaint and said this is not a legitimate whistleblower complaint because the president is not a member of the intelligence community. That was backed up by the Department of Justice as well as the legal counsel for the DNI. So there is no legal basis to require the intelligence community or the DNI to produce the complaint to Congress. So we'll wait and see what McGuire does on Thursday in that regard. I am confident he will explain it exactly as I just did.
Which one of you guys has your little ding on your phone on? Because you got to turn it off. One of you have it on.
Might have been me.
Yeah, I mean, Mr. Jarrett, really, after all these years we've spent together, you write books, you got your new, when's your new book out?
My book is out August 8th, 2 weeks from today. It's available
August,
for
you mean,
pre-order.
You mean that would be October?
October 8th, isn't that what I said?
I thought you said August. Anyway, what
no,
did you...
I'm sorry, October 8th, two weeks
right.
from today, available for pre-order right now.
Stay right there. If you're like me, you have insomnia, I have a hard time falling asleep. And listen, I'm falling asleep faster, I'm staying asleep longer, and it's all because of Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And I have all their products, their pillows, their MyPillow mattress topper, the full body pillow. I got the traveling pillow. I got the whole kit and caboodle. But the bottom line is, it works. I don't know why, but I've tried everything else, and this is the one that works for me. And I think you're going to see amazing results also. So Mike is always looking for great creative ideas to help his wonderful customers like us. And you know what? He found the Sean Hannity Square. He put it up when you go to MyPillow.com. Now, every day, he puts up specials. And every day, specials, the best deals to save you money. For example, right now today, if you go to MyPillow.com, click on the Sean Hannity Square, you buy one MyPillow, and you get another one free. That's pretty cool. Two for the price of one. 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty. And if you pre-order Mike's book, What a Life He Has Led, you're going to get the entire shipment for free. All right? So MyPillow.com, Sean Hannity Square, or call 800-919-6090. Mention my name.
Fighting the Trump-hating liberal media one day at a time. This is the Sean Hannity Show.
Check out Sean live every weekday from 3 to 6 Eastern here on iHeartRadio.
American consumers are losing confidence. The Conference Board's Consumer Confidence Index plunged 9 points this month. That's the biggest monthly decline in 9 years. The assessments of current conditions and the future both fell. The escalating trade war with China is the biggest concern cited in the poll, but President Trump continues to defend it. Speaking at the UN General Assembly, Trump said China has been engaging in unfair trade practices for too long.
Already, as a result of these tariffs, supply chains are relocating back to America and to other nations, and billions of dollars are being paid to our treasury.
Whether a recession is looming is mostly guesswork, but should you get ready for one? The super rich are. Lisa Carter reports.
Swiss investment bank UBS surveyed 360 global family offices that have an average wealth of $1.2 billion. More than half of them expect a recession by 2020. Nearly half are adjusting their portfolios by shifting money to bonds and real estate. 42% are increasing their cash reserves. They cite concerns over the ongoing trade war between the U.S. and China and the yield curve inversion. That's a phenomenon when short-term bonds pay a higher dividend than long-term bonds do. It's only happened 8 times in history, and a recession has followed the last 7 times it has happened, usually within a year or two. Lisa Carter, NBC News Radio.
Bad news for owners, but good for buyers. The growth of home prices continues to slow. The latest CoreLogic Case-Shiller Index shows prices nationwide only increased an average of 3.2% in July, the most recent month of data. They only gained 2% in the top 20 cities, less than expected. And more American workers will qualify for overtime pay as of January 1st. The Labor Department's new rules that raise the annual salary threshold to $35,500 were finalized this week. Used to be anyone making more than $23,600 was exempt in specific industries. The Obama administration wanted it raised to 47. Consumer and business news, Joe McConnell, NBC News Radio.
For those of you old school emailers, Yahoo is revamping its email app. New interface has been redesigned to better fit larger phone screens, and a new focus prioritizes organization, mainly by grouping emails into views with categories like deals, travel, subscriptions, and attachments. In your Yahoo Mail travel view, for instance, you'll see all of your upcoming flight and hotel itineraries, and in your subscriptions tab, you can see all of your currently subscribed to mailing lists or newsletters. Amazon is out with some help for the visually impaired. New show and tell feature allows users to hold an item in front of an Echo Show and ask Alexa, "What am I holding?" Using computer vision and machine learning for object recognition, the Alexa-powered device will respond with its best guess. If you're really excited about Disney's forthcoming streaming service, you can now sign up for the pre-order. Disney Plus costs $6.99 a month or $69.99 for the year, and new subscribers to Disney streaming can sign up for the free 7-day trial. Disney Plus will be up and running in November. Tech Report, Larry Olson, NBC News Radio.
Now that the September 11th Victim Compensation Fund has been extended permanently, New York City officials are reaching out to students and teachers who were near ground zero and may have 9/11 related diseases. Letters have gone out to 19,000 former students enrolled at schools south of Houston Street, plus teachers. Mayor de Blasio says,
"We want to make sure anyone who needs help gets it."
A New Hampshire transplant recipient is in danger of losing her new face. Carmen Blandon Tarleton is being evaluated after doctors discovered tissue damage. She's now being worked up for a second face transplant by her team at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. The 51-year-old received a new face in 2013, 6 years after her ex-husband beat her and doused her in lye, causing severe burns to over 85% of her body. Health update, Sarah Lee Kessler, NBC News Radio.
Last night, Monday Night Football, Mitch Trubisky threw his first 3 touchdown passes of the season, all to Taylor Gabriel in the second quarter, to finally get the Chicago Bears offense going and build a big lead that held up to beat the Washington Redskins 31-15. The Bears took advantage of 5 turnovers by Redskins quarterback Case Keenum, 2 interceptions by Ha Ha Clinton Dix, including a pick six. The Redskins lost their eighth consecutive Monday night game, tying for the second longest streak in league history.